Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Such pleasure to have you with us. Maybe you're getting your Thanksgiving weekend off to an early start. Hopefully you're not caught on the grapevine where we understand snow is starting to fall. Of course, on this getaway day for so many people. So please be very, very careful. Usually there are CHP units that are up there in the early period of snow to help people through. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of the day and into all things considered the very latest on the weather conditions here in Southern California. Coming up in our second hour, it's Film Week a couple of days early because we want you to be prepared what movies you might want to go to on tomorrow's holiday or Friday, for example, earlier in the day. So that's all coming up. We'll hear about this week's movies in less than an hour here on KPCC. Well, it is, of course, a couple days before Black Friday, what is traditionally the busiest shopping day of the year. A lot of different reasons given for how that name came about. The one most popular among retailers seems to be that's the day when supposedly they move from being in the red for the year to into the black, profitable, because of the long four-day weekend sales period. But how are people going to be making their purchases? What percentage will be online? What percent will be doorbusters going down to wait in line for when their store opens to take advantage of some great deal? And what about those who totally avoid buying on the Black Friday and Thanksgiving holiday weekend? With us, Chief Retail Industry Advisor for NPD Consumer Analytics Group, Marshall Cohen. Marshall, it's great to have you. Oh, we don't have Marshall yet with us. Hopefully we will momentarily. Also with us is the author of Decoding the New Consumer Mind, How and Why We Shop and Buy, consumer research psychologist Kit Yarrow. Kit, good to have you back with us.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
So let's talk, first of all, about the sort of Black Friday strategies, the doorbusters things. Those still work, right?
They still work because actually there are great deals. They're called a lot of times loss leaders because retailers are willing to put a percentage of merchandise on sale where they actually take a loss. They don't make profit on it or very little profit in order to get you in the door. They know that once you're in the door, you're going to buy more than that product and they're counting on that.
One of the things I know that some of the places do, like big electronics companies, like, they'll have special edition products actually made for Black Friday, where maybe they save on some of the components and all and are looking at selling them in bulk, maybe deeply discounted laptops or things like that. And I'm curious, is that in and of itself profitable for these companies, or is it more of the loss leader? Maybe they sell at a loss, but they get you to buy all the peripherals and maybe buy other products that you come across on the website or in the store.
Yeah, it's both. So I think both of them ultimately end up being profitable. So for example, Nordstrom Anniversary Sale, that's really most of their merchandise is purchased just for that sale. They never intended it to be sold at the so-called original price. It was manufactured sometimes using different components or yarns or products so that it costs less to manufacture and they could sell it at a discount. And sometimes just because of the quantities, they're able to get bulk discounts. But at any rate, they don't really intend to sell that at full price. It's purchased and sold to consumers, hoping to get you in the door and feeling like you're getting a bargain and perhaps loosened up to spend more on other things.
In a few minutes, we're going to talk about the generational differences in how people tend to shop. Not universal, of course. I mean, there are people of all ages you'll see in line waiting to get into the store for the doorbuster events. But we'll talk about some of those trends. I'd like to hear from you how your shopping has evolved. Maybe you're someone who it was a social event to actually line up and go to the late night or very early morning sales at brick and mortar stores. Maybe you evolved to do more online shopping and found there were limitations to it. Now you're back to wanting to actually check out the merchandise at a retail store. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. It's a chance for us to check in and get a sense of our listeners, the way in which you buy around the holiday season. Kit, do we have a sense of what percentage of holiday purchases are made between Friday early morning and Sunday night?
Yeah, that 5 days, that's a make or break day. So we only have about 25% of shoppers that have actually started shopping at this point. And something like 75% of people say that they plan to shop in one way, shape, or form during this holiday weekend. This particular Black Friday weekend, or 5 days really, including Cyber Monday, I think we're going to see a larger percentage than ever because it's so much later in the year than other. Thanksgiving is so much later in the year. And so I think it's going to put a little panic in people's hearts and get them out there shopping probably more robustly than they have in previous years.
One of the things we hear is, you know, about gift cards, how popular they've become because people can get whatever they want. Do we have a sense of what percentage of the gift market that entails?
Yeah. So, well, interestingly enough, 55% of consumers say that they want a gift card for Christmas. That's the highest of any gift category at all. Jewelry, everything, you know, sportswear, it's all well below that 55% mark. And women, actually in droves, more like 65% of women say their number one gift of choice would be a gift card. So I think part of it is that people want to have the ability to pick out what they want. We've become pickier than ever. And part of it is that gift cards are just easier to give. They're prettier and you can include extra things with them. And I think part of it is less confidence, especially for women, in perhaps the gift giver. So if you don't trust that the gift giver has your taste in mind, then perhaps you'd rather have a gift card, which might explain why so many women want them compared to men.
Well, and you've also got concerns about the size, if it's an article of clothing or the style, all those sorts of things which can make it difficult for a friend or family member to make a clothing purchase that, you know, is going to be a hit and fit.
Exactly. So a gift card's kind of like giving somebody the gift of shopping. You know, they get the ability to go and look at everything and pick out what they want, step up to the cash register and not have to pull out any of their own hard-earned dollars to get something that they really, truly want. And they no longer have any stigma attached to them. At one time, gift cards were kind of looked at as, well, why don't you just give them cash? You know, it's a thoughtless gift. And it's not really thought of that way anymore. It makes sure that people get what they want, I guess.
We're talking with Kit Yarrow. She's a consumer research psychologist and author of Decoding the New Consumer Mind, How and Why We Shop and Buy. And I'd be interested to hear among your peers what trends you're seeing, particularly based on the age or education level or the particular position that they hold on cutting edge versus traditional style. What ways are you and your friend group choosing to shop that's maybe different than a couple of years ago? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Dennis in Garden Grove said, I used to do Black Friday as a big family event for 2 to 3 years, but I think it's more important to spend the holiday with my family now. That's Dennis in Garden Grove. So what are we seeing in the generational differences? Because I thought it was rather fascinating that among Gen Zers, it appears that that youngest demographic of Americans is going back to brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, they actually, it turns out, like shopping. Part of it is because when you're younger, you don't necessarily know as much about merchandise. So by the time you get to be baby boomer age, you've touched a lot of cashmere. You kind of know what to expect. You know about sizes and products. But younger people have always kind of liked actually touching and feeling and trying on and exploring and making shopping a social event. But Gen Yers got turned off to it, partly because of the recession, partly because of you know, ecological issues. And so Gen Z is coming back in, and they are actually really practical shoppers, but they want to get out there and make a holiday of it. And you, what your caller just mentioned, I think is important to remember, that a lot of people really are excited about Black Friday for the bargains. But for other people, it's a social event. It's a time to see Santa. A lot of times a group of people are thrown together that haven't been together for a long time. And I'm talking about Thanksgiving families, and they're looking for something to do. That's a long weekend. That's, you know, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So going to visit Santa and looking at the windows and doing a little shopping is actually kind of like a social ritual in addition to a bargain hunting weekend.
All right. Again, I'd love to hear from AirTalk listeners. What do you see among your age group, your particular subcultural group, in the way that they shop? 866-893-KPECC. And it does seem that those, you know, line up at the store, the huge, you know, lines forming in the middle of the night events, those are multi-generational. At least, you know, TV coverage of that, you'll see grandma there and, you know, the mom of the young kids, everybody lined up. And it's not just social, but it's a family event.
Yeah. And that's kind of interesting. So I went and interviewed people standing in line a couple of years ago, and they were having a blast. It wasn't what it would be to me, which would be just a hellish experience. But they were, you know, a lot of them had done it for years since they were kids. It was something like a camping out thing. It was really fun. They had their chocolate, they had their rituals and so forth. And they not only were getting bargains, but they were also actually having a good time. And fewer people do it now because we can get products online for, you know, there are always products that'll be sold in stores, especially big box stores on Black Friday that you can't get online that are less, but most of the really good deals you can also find online. So some people have backed off on going to stores on Black Friday, especially the doorbusters, which makes it a little bit more civilized occasion. And certainly stores have stepped up security. You know, they don't want, you know, the things we've seen on the news years ago. They want a more kind of civilized structure. And so that's what we're seeing. So I think it's maybe a little bit more enjoyable because there's fewer people and better security. And the prices are still good. And a lot of people do have kind of a ritual around it.
So I said, when you see, you know, the morning of Black Friday, some sort of a, you know, fight that's broken out among people waiting in line or trying to get in the doors of the store, it kind of ruins the whole mood of the season. Pat, in Sierra Madre, what trend are you seeing among your group of friends or family members?
I don't give items. I give experiences. And like, for example, and I buy my granddaughter swimming lessons, or I may take her to a play, because an experience is always with you, and it does wear out, and it's you know, it becomes a part of who you are.
That's a great point, Pat. I appreciate it very much. 866-893-KPECC. Nikki in North Hollywood, what's the newest trend with the way you shop?
Yeah, I buy a lot of resale. I'm really aware of climate change and new goods always being made. And there's plenty of stuff out there that still has a lot of, you know, wear in it. So I shop a lot on eBay, Mercari, things that are used already.
All right. And Nikki, what age group are you in?
I'm technically a millennial. I'm 33. I also have a child, so they grow out of things super quickly.
Yeah, boy.
No point in paying full price for something that they'll only wear a few times.
So true. Nikki, I appreciate it very much. Tom in the San Fernando Valley says, among my millennial peers, we don't want to go to big box stores and wait in lines. Most everyone I know is shopping exclusively on Cyber Monday. And Kit Yarrow, is that generally a younger group of shoppers who do Cyber Monday?
No, everybody's doing Cyber Monday. I mean, it's huge. It's the largest online shopping day of the year. And this year's going to be probably larger than ever. It's just massive for the deal hunters. So people tend to be on Cyber Monday, very purpose-driven shoppers. They're not browsing. They've already decided what they want to buy, and they're going to click that button on Monday. You know, I was so interested in your guest that just spoke, because those are two of the biggest new trends this year. One is secondhand products. Like, you can get a used watch from the RealReal or a vintage clothing or something on eBay. And especially younger consumers, that is kind of generational. They're into that. And it's a good way to get more for your money and feel like you're not hurting the environment. Another big trend is subscription boxes. Last year, my husband got a Bacon of the Month Club box, but he actually, I thought it was the hokiest gift, but then we ended up really enjoying it. So, like, beauty products are really big this year, but also, like your first caller, experiences are huge. And I think this is also partly generational, that, again, it's kind of like a really good sustainable kind of gift to give. It's better for the environment, and it does create these long memories. So your caller's kind of nailed a lot of the big trends this year.
Kit, you just crashed the Bacon of the Month website with that endorsement. That sounds like such a fun idea, sort of tongue-in-cheek. And if the bacon's good, I get that too. Speaking of environmental, you know, with all the online ordering people do, you've got the footprint of the delivery trucks and all the packaging. And I wonder if among, again, the youngest shoppers, Gen Zers, or perhaps even the generation before them, the millennials, are you know, starting to back away a bit from that because of the environmental concerns of delivery.
You know, in my research, I've found that what they're choosing to buy has made a difference, but not as much impacted by delivery. So it's not that that isn't a consideration. And I think some, you know, we're seeing Amazon start to get some negative feedback from consumers, not just for fake products or fake reviews, but also because of all the packaging and material. So I'm not saying it isn't part of our consciousness today, most particularly with our younger consumers. But more what I'm seeing is younger consumers saying, I want to buy secondhand. I want to buy higher quality and fewer products. I want to give gifts that are experiences. So they're looking at sustainability and eco issues in a much broader context. Delivery, that's a tough one to get over, because ultimately you have to get the product to you, right?
Yeah. And the question is it more efficient to have the trucks driving around delivering, or customers going individually to a brick and mortar store, buying the product and taking it home? Todd in Fullerton, who is a millennial, says, in my age group, I've noticed most people just shop online. They make wish lists. Everything is so cheap nowadays, we don't even need deals, which is an interesting point, because consumer goods are, for the most part, comparatively inexpensive compared to decades in the past. Mass production and manufacturing in China and other countries has comparatively cut the cost of physical goods. Alan in West Hollywood says, I'm in my late 30s, Gen X. We don't give gifts anymore. We just end up with stuff we don't need. I got 5 drones that I don't need. And Mark writes on the page, I'll take one of those drones out. Mark writes, Larry, I'm on the side of going to the brick and mortar stores. I realize if we don't, they won't be around. Mark, thank you for that. And Kit Yarrow, thank you so much for sharing your consumer research expertise with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, it's the final segment in our month-long series, The Purple Project for Democracy. We'll be back in just 1 minute.